Hello, welcome to Faith Community Church. This is John Faley. This week I get to have the privilege of delivering the message on Father's Day. It was kind of fun trading places with Andrew this week. Andrew, I've been laughing all week long at that skit that you did. That little video clip was hysterical and had me in stitches. Thank you. It was really fun. Today we're going to continue on in the book of Acts. We're in Acts chapter 5. Some of you know, when I preach, I really like to burrow in to the stories that we have. And today we are in a somewhat familiar story of Peter's encounter with Ananias and Sapphira, who were a local couple in the local church. And the more and more we look into this story, I think we'll see that there are some real lessons there for us, and not just the ones that might be obvious at first. So without too much ado, I'd like to jump in. We have quite a lot of scripture here for this section. It's Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. I'll read through it, and then we'll begin with the message. But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property, and they kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge, and bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you had conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God." And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came over all who heard of it. The young men got up and covered him up, and after carrying him out, they buried him. Now, there elapsed an interval of about 3 hours, and his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter responded to her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for such and such a price." She said, "Yes, that was the price." Then Peter said to her, "Why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out as well." And immediately she fell at his feet and breathed her last, and the young men came in and found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came over the whole church and over all who heard of these things. Well, that's a fun start for Father's Day, yeah? Oh. This is one of those stories in the Bible that I just don't like this story. There is so much there that concerns me. There's so much there that worries me. The why, the how did they die? What? This is one of those places in Scripture that God chooses to use Luke, as Luke is recording the deeds of the Acts of the Apostles after Christ's ascension, to record various things that happen, not just good things, not just bad things, but of great variety. And the deaths of Ananias and Sapphira, like so many things in Acts, they serve as a sign. God takes something that is true in the kingdom of God, and he puts it on physical display. Now, we see this most often through the healing miracles, but it is equally true of this judgment. So, all week long, I've kind of been fretting over this story, fretting over the deaths. And then I remembered that there's this really important, tool that we can use as we're looking into the Bible, as we're studying it. And that tool is that the rule of responsible Bible reading is to pay the most attention to what the author draws the most attention to. And so as I look back over this story this week, there's a lot of attention that Luke places on the conversations between Peter and Ananias, and then the conversation with Peter and then Sapphira. Now, because the two of them, their stories are so similar, we're going to kind of focus on the first part right now with Ananias. And then almost every discussion that we have from here on holds true for both Ananias and Peter, and then Sapphira and Peter. Does that make sense? Okay. So as I look at this story, Luke is really focused on the conversation. He's focused on the what is said and by whom. And then, of course, their untimely deaths. What I want to get to is this idea that Peter, like a good father, confronts Ananias, and like a good father, he kind of already knows what the truth is. Now, how many of you parents have had this conversation a dozen times, 100 times with your kids? Are you sure that's how it happened? Are you sure of that? That doesn't seem right to me. Did it really happen like that? And now, for whatever reason, and however it happens, Peter happens to know the truth. He knows that Ananias and Sapphira had a piece of property, sold it, and didn't bring in the entire proceeds. Now, is that part important? Let's set the stage for you. As we've been going through the previous couple of weeks, we've been seeing this tremendous growing of the population of Christians surrounding Peter. There have been thousands of people converted and coming to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is an exciting time. Right after the events that Andrew spoke about last week, of Peter preaching to the religious authorities, right after that, we have that picture of the perfect church environment in Acts, where all of the people were gathering in one another's houses, where they were sharing everything that they had in common. And this story is just this really lovely picture of a very caring community. And it's kind of capped off with this man named Barnabas, who has sold a field, and he brings the entire amount that he earned from the sale of that field, and he places it at the feet of the disciples, and then there's great rejoicing because he's given this incredibly lavish gift. And we're led to believe that that is also happening elsewhere. Now, we don't know what the situation is with Ananias and Sapphira. We don't know if they had promised that they would bring all of the money and then decided not to, or if somehow they had pledged this, or we don't really know. But what we do know is that they felt an expectation that they were supposed to bring the entirety of it. And then, on having maybe second thoughts, they decide to keep some for themselves. Now, many of us would say, well, that seems like a pretty frugal and maybe a very practical thing to do, to say, okay, well, we sold the land, it was valuable, but we're not really sure of our future, so let's keep some for ourselves. And apparently, Peter doesn't seem to have a problem with that, right? Because in that line where Peter says, you know, before you sold it, the field was yours, and after you sold it, the proceeds were yours to do what you wanted to. But then he calls him out, but you've lied. So it must be that they have promised this money to the congregation or for some reason, and then have decided not to fulfill that promise. So I would say that this conversation now, this opportunity when Ananias comes in and Peter basically says, are you sure this is what happened? This is a holy moment. This is one of those times that happens in each of our lives when we need to choose. Are we going to side with God and with the truth? Or are we going to side with the enemy and with deceit? I want to remind you of a very important passage that we have that was given to the Israelites in the Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. And God is speaking to the entire nation of Israel at this point, but he says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. Now that scripture seems like it's pretty much on the nose for what happened here. That Ananias literally chose death. He chose to lie. He chose to invest in the works of the enemy and not invest in the community of God's people. This is a terrible and tragic moment. Absolutely tragic, and more so that it resulted in his death, in judgment and his death. Now, the story continues on from there with Sapphira, being taken out, buried, and then Sapphira coming in, and a very similar conversation occurs where Peter basically again says to her, Sapphira, are you sure that's how this happened? Are you sure that's all the money that you promised to bring? And she too has a holy moment. It's a moment where she is confronted with the truth and whether she can choose to side with truth or she can choose to side with the enemy. And of course, she makes her decision and she says, yes, this is all of it, which is a lie. And then immediately she is struck down. But not before Peter can tell her, those men who carried your husband out are going to carry you out as well. This tragedy, an amazing tragedy, as Ananias and Sapphira both die on the same day for the same lie. I have gone through so many different religious studies looking at this to try to get some understanding, and so many people have focused on the money, on this notion that you're supposed to give everything that God requires, etc. I think that's a narrow reading of this. I think you could read a much broader reading of this in that they're choosing to not be on God's side. That their actions, the choice of their words that they speak are aligning themselves with the devil and his kingdom instead of with God and God's kingdom. Now, as I looked into this, I kept thinking more and more about the conversation that was happening. I'm still bothered about their deaths, of course. It's tragic. But I'm thinking about that conversation with Peter, and I'm wondering if there's more to the story. Is there something else going on here? And I'm going to say something, and this is just an opinion that I have. It's not really founded in anything more than just a lifetime of reading scriptures and studying God's word. It's not supported by a lot of other theories, but I think we might have something to learn here too. Does Peter play a role in this conversation? And the answer, of course, is yes. Peter and his demeanor and disposition and his choice of words helps to steer this conversation. Now, what do we know about Peter? We know he's a bit of a hothead. We know he went to the Last Supper packing heat, right? He had a sword at the Last Supper. What? He had a sword. He cut off the servant of the high priest's ear, remember? Peter, the one who kind of loses it from time to time, he has a temper. I wonder if Ananias and Sapphira knew that he had a temper. My guess is they did. My guess is it probably wasn't disguised all that well, as that we, 2,000 years since then, still know about it. So let me ask this question. Have you ever been in a church where the leadership didn't feel safe? Where you were not sure if you spoke your mind, if you talked about your sins, your shortcomings, your beliefs, your questions, the problems that you were having, the feelings that you were pondering, that if you told the leadership in that church about this, would they be safe? Would they be people who would receive that and then gently and with love and great determination help you forward in your walk of faith? Well, I can think personally of a number of churches that I know of and have been in where senior leadership wasn't very safe. And that's a tragedy. And a part of me wonders if that's also going on in this story. That maybe they didn't feel super comfortable telling Peter the truth. And that would be tragic if that was true. Think about how this story might have gone if Peter was sort of more even-keeled. He might have said, Ananias, are you sure? Because I just really get the feeling that you're holding something back. Is there a reason that that's happening? And then maybe Ananias could have opened up and said, well, yeah, we really felt we're just not ready. We sold the field and we're worried about our future and this, and we're not sure. We're just not ready to give it all, but Barnabas did and all these other people did, and we wanted people to like us and we wanted them to look up to us. And we were having such a fine time the other night, and then we said we would sell the field, and on and on. And maybe Ananias would have opened up and start to divulge the truth of what he was really feeling inside, the struggles that they were having. And then maybe Peter could have encouraged him encouraged him in his walk to say, you know, I know it's hard, but you got to have faith and you got to trust. And I think you're going to find that as you do, maybe you'd say, hey, Ananias, go back and read Malachi. Remember that great bit in Malachi where that blessing is going to be poured back out on you. You've got to trust God on this. It's going to be great. It's a very different conversation. Let me let you think about this for the minute, that the conversation happens with Sapphira, but it's even more cruel. Think about this. I think Peter was mad. And the reason I say that is, can you ever in your life imagine your spouse dying and your pastor taking the body and having it buried without telling you? What in the world? That's not okay. That's so beyond the pale. I can't even imagine what she would have been thinking if she knew about that. But then the fact is, he takes her through the whole conversation and tells her on her dying breath that she's a widow. That's terrible. Is it just me? That is terrible. That's about the worst thing I could think to do to somebody. He had her husband buried by people, I don't know if she knew them or not, but without her consent, without her even getting to say goodbye. Can you imagine how the conversation might have gone if Peter had approached her with a pastor's heart? Oh, Sapphira, the most terrible thing happened. Ananias has died. God judged him about the field. You remember the field that you sold? He lied about it and died. Now, Sapphira, what about you? Are you going to maintain that you sold the field and brought all the proceeds and be judged by God too? We could have had a very different outcome if this conversation had gone differently, but I believe that Peter was mad, that he was trying to correct something. He was also probably terrified at God's judgment, knowing that he himself had lied 3 times on the night of Jesus' crucifixion. 3 times he had denied Christ. That seems to me far worse than lying about the sale of a field. And so Peter's confronted by God's judgment of somebody else and probably a little confounded as to why he's still walking around. So the terrible things that we're seeing here are all a part of this toxic mess that comes out of Ananias and Sapphira's decision to side with Satan, to side with the devil, to lie and to not give God's community and God's fellowship an opportunity to prove those blessings that he has promised. That toxic sin then makes its way into the community, and we read that terrible line at the end of this in verse 11 where it says, "And great fear came over the whole church and over all who heard these things." The tragedy in this story is the outcome for the community, and that outcome is death and fear and alienation. And we see scriptures later on pointing to the fact that Peter and the other disciples are being left alone. People are giving them some space. They respect them and revere them, but they're also afraid of them. There's some divisions in the community, and then later on you'll see sort of the primacy of Peter starts to wane as Paul begins to ascend as the sort of real spiritual leader of the young Christian church. We'll start to see divisions within the disciples later. It's a terrible thing. It's terrible on all parts. Ananias and Sapphira's lie, and maybe the things that Peter, maybe he needed to learn. God was maybe teaching him about how to be a loving father. Not just stern, but loving. Interested in reconciliation and bringing people together instead of interested in their judgment. Now, I'm just going to ask this, that can we treat every opportunity for redemption and reconciliation as the holy moment that it actually is? That each time our Father or our leaders or our brothers and sisters who come to us and say, "Are you sure? Are you sure that's how it goes? Are you sure which way you're going to decide?" That we see those as moments to course correct, moments to align ourselves with God. A good father, like our Father, he takes every opportunity to gather us to him, to bring us in closer, to heal our relationships, to reconcile us to the truth and to himself and to each other. I'm going to encourage you this week as you, if your father's out there and it's your responsibility to have to call somebody on a situation, that you'll be honest, but you'll be loving and you'll also be compassionate and move them towards redemption rather than judgment. And that if you're on the other side, if you're on the receiving side, when somebody comes to you and asks, "Are you sure?" Be vulnerable. Be open. Be honest. Yes, you're right. I did the wrong thing, and I'm sorry for it, and I want to know how to make it right. Those are words that the Father loves. Can we treat every opportunity like that as a holy moment? A moment to move God's kingdom forward, to bind us together. Dads, you've been given an incredible role, a very big responsibility. And the good news is that we're all growing and we all have tomorrow to get better at what we're doing. I'm going to encourage you. Let God guide your heart. Let him use you powerfully. And that's whether you've got little ones or grown-up ones. Dads, you're doing a great job. Keep it up. Church, thank you for allowing me to speak to you today. I appreciate it. I hope that this opportunity to look back into the story of Ananias and Sapphira maybe gives you some new insights, something to think about. Take those moments when they come, and you know they do, and choose God. Would you please pray with me? Father, give us hearts that are open to you, hearts that are willing to receive correction and discipline. God, give us love and caring and compassion for the people around us. God, thank you for your word and the way it instructs us. And we pray as we go out of this place, as we go into our lives this week, that your word would just resonate within us, that we would continually choose you, continually choose to course correct towards you and a life that looks more and more like Jesus. Now, would you please join me in praying the Lord's Prayer?
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.